This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:19 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana, Philip and Xiaoning. In about half an hour, we'll discuss the effectiveness of the government's recently announced austerity measures to curb expenditure. But in the meantime, we're talking about the labour force in Malaysia. The government has recently agreed to defer implementing the condition that at least 80% of the workforce in manufacturing companies must be Malaysians before they're allowed to employ foreign workers. They've deferred this policy by 2 years, and this ratio requires it was believed to have first been made back in 2016.
And yesterday, the federal government announced that the manufacturing, construction and services sector will be allowed to employ migrant workers from 15 countries to ease the squeeze of the labour ban imposed by Indonesia. Labour issues, however, remain a key concern for employers with no clear solutions in sight. On one hand, Malaysia aims to reduce the dependency on foreign labour through this 80-20 ratio requirement, but the nation's labour demand remains skewed towards low-skilled jobs.
So what needs to be done in order to improve the environment of the labour market in Malaysia? For some answers, we speak to Dr. Niaz Asadullah, Southeast Asia Lead at the Global Labour Organization and also Professor of Economics at Monash University, Malaysia. Niaz, good morning. Thank you as always for joining us. How difficult is it for Malaysian manufacturers to achieve a local to foreign hiring ratio of 80-20?
Thank you, Shazana. Well, it's a tricky question. If you consider statistics provided by the Federation of Malaysian Manufacturers, there is a very high dependence on foreign workers. The sector requires more than 500,000 of these workers to fully return to pre-pandemic production level. So therefore, when you think of this 80-20 ratio or requirement to have at least 80% local workers, it kind of makes sense considering the fact that foreign workers accounted for 1/5 of our manufacturing workforce before the pandemic. Mm. The trouble is that the pandemic has badly disrupted labor supply in all sectors, including manufacturing, and a part of it has got to do with unavailability of migrant workers. Some subsectors, you know, within the manufacturing, for example, semiconductor factories have been badly affected. So therefore, for certain manufacturing industries, meeting this ratio is proving difficult.
So can I hear you right? What you're saying here is that actually this should be done. It's just that the pandemic has changed and upended everything, that eventually we need to transition to this and it's inevitable.
This cannot continue. The dependency on foreign workers cannot continue. And we have to have a system where, you know, we can sustain our production based on local workers.
But Niaz, can this realistically be achieved, though, at this current time? Are companies ready for this? Or do we need to force them to be ready?
Well, you know, that, I think we best leave it to a market mechanism. If you think of this provision where, you know, the government is kind of proposing a citizenship-based employment quota, in a sense, it reduces flexibility. It makes it harder for businesses to adjust labor costs in times of crisis. So we have to consider this from the employer's perspective, that they have to be in business, remain in business in the first place to comply with government requirements. But as we speak, many may permanently shut down because of government's recruitment restriction if local supply falls short. So I think, you know, what we have to realize is that we should leave it to market forces to decide who should be hired, retained or fired. It's not really the government's business to decide. What is important is that the government, you know, removes conditions for exploitation in the labor market. The priority should be to stamp out illicit trade in manpower sector. We have a very large shadow labor market, and many employers are exploiting this by hiring migrant workers unofficially. This practice has to stop for the transition to start.
Okay, Niaz, I hear you. And you do make very valid points as to stamp out this, hiring of the illegal hiring of workers. But I'm curious whether at the end of the day, we do need a bit of a carrot and stick approach to get companies to actually move up the value chain. Because if you think of it from a company perspective, right, they will always want to maintain their margins. And at the moment, it doesn't seem attractive enough for them to actually, let's say, increase automation. So will this work at the end of the day if we just leave it to market forces?
Well, you know, the story of, you know, being stuck with low-skilled jobs and not moving to automation, high-tech, for me, it's kind of an egg chicken problem because employers do face, if we are to be fair to them, problems of supply when it comes to hiring graduates that meet their requirement. We have heard on BFM shows many times Malaysian employers complaining about poor communication skills, soft skills of our graduates. And, you know, there is even shortage of STEM graduates, a shortage of engineers and technicians in our electrical and electronic sector. So these are precisely some of the concerns that discourage some employers in the manufacturing sector to upgrade production systems to go high tech. And I say it egg chicken problem because at the same time, our youths complain about low pay for STEM graduates, for engineers. So it seems that there is kind of a mismatch in the, you know, job market, but our education system is contributing to it alongside choices made by our industry leaders.
Okay. So in that sense, what do you have any recommendations on how, I suppose, the nation should recalibrate its reinvestment in the workforce in order to address this mismatch in the job market that you described?
Well, yeah. So, you know, while, you know, we talk about carrot and stick, so while we demand that employers reskill and, you know, upskill their employees, we also have to look at the structural problem of our education quality, fix our university system so that we can guarantee mass production of quality graduates. So in that sense, there is no quick solution to the mismatch, but I would recommend a combination of short-term and long-term measures. And again, going back to the idea of carrot and stick, the first priority really should be, and this is where I completely agree with the government, is to curb the supply of undocumented workers. And it is to free up manufacturing jobs that are currently performed informally or unofficially. And this is causing a great deal of distortion for those foreign workers with valid paperwork, as well as for local workers. And this is one reason why certain jobs are being stigmatized, because they are associated with illegal workers. There are certain sectors. So this would be the first short-term measures. Long-term measures should include improving our education quality, and not just increasing participation in STEM subjects, but also to ensure that our graduates, and particularly engineers, have sharp and smart skills. And I should add also that these changes must coincide with industry level, you know, automation and upskilling efforts. And all these imply a very close collaboration and coordination between three parties, governments, universities, and employers.
Niaz, thank you very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Dr. Niaz Asadullah, Southeast Asia Lead at the Global Labour Organization and Professor of Economics at Monash University, Malaysia, giving us his take on how to resolve the labour shortage situation in Malaysia, what it'll take to recalibrate the balance of foreign and local workers in the country.
I mean, I'm struggling with this, to be honest. Like, how do we, you know, you want to legitimise and make it formal, but there's still a structural problem, right, that industry has to contend with, that there is really no supply locally to make it work. And the solutions here on in education and all that, it's a decade, a generational shift. It's not something that it can be done in 3 to 5 years. That's the thing I'm struggling to reconcile with at the moment.
For me, I think in Malaysia, and we can look at other countries as an example of what to do, right? There does need to be a carrot and stick approach, because if you're a corporate, for right, sure, you're always going to try and maintain your margins. You're going to maximize your profitability. And unless the government imposes some policy whereby it's either a form of subsidy or they really restrict the type of labor that come in, then usually companies will resist moving up the value chain. Singapore is a classic example of that.
Well, if you have a stick, then I think it has to be a penalty if you do not meet the quotas. That's, I think, what's going to happen if this is going to be put in place.
And in a way, you don't keep changing the goalpost.
I wonder how much of this problem is due to wanting to resolve things overnight when it's going to take a long time, and whether we need to just be aware that this is a long trajectory rather than trying to rush things in a very quick manner. But in any case, it's 7:29 in the morning. We're heading into the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. And when we come back, what's the path out of the economic crisis for Sri Lanka? We'll be discussing this. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.